On the opening day of the retreat, where we are to practice Satipatthana, Sayadawji promised to speak about Ojha. So today he will speak about this. Ojha means an essential substance which produces strength, which causes strength. And there are two types, rupa or physical ojha that is found in matter, in physical things, and nama ojha. This is the nourishing essence which relates to the mind. So there are these two types. Physical ojha and mental ojha. So the physical type of ojha, or nourishing essence, is found in the food we eat. There are six tastes in food: sweet, sour, hot, bitter, bland, and salty. And in things that, in these tastes, or in things that are tastable, there is this nourishing essence. There is a nourishing essence. And the word ojha has the meaning of brightness or strength, capability. There's also a type of ojha that relates to the mind, and it gives the mind strength. And this we can call Dhamma Ojha. So for now, this is just a summary of the word. So everything that we eat, everything that we can eat, that is food, is called ahara in Pali. And we might use the word English word edibles. Anything edible or drinkable is ahara. And this ahara, or food, it can quell the danger that comes from being hungry. When we're hungry, the stomach is empty, and the food, the digestive fire in the stomach has no food to eat, so it starts to eat away at the walls of the stomach. It burns the stomach and causes disease. But when we put food in our stomachs, or something edible, drinkable, this fire is quelled. The digestive fire no longer eats away at the lining of the stomach. It digests the food. So this is what the quality of food is, that it alleviates hunger. But this ahara, food, can't support the body so that it will keep on living. Only this thing called ojha, this nutritious essence, is what can keep the body, support the body so that it can continue to live. So we should understand that there are these two types of things, ojha and ahara. So this ojha, nutritious essence, has two kinds. And one is internal, called ajata ojha, and the other is external, bheda ojha. So the ajata ojha occurs inside of us, and the bheda ojha, external ojha, occurs outside. So there are these two types of ojha. So these two kinds of nutriment, or ojha, are as follows. The internal nutriment, or ojha, is present from the time of conception, when the sperm and the ovary join in the mother's womb. And this internal ojha, or nutriment, is due to our kamma, the actions that we performed in past lives. So this is what the internal nutriment or internal oja is. And baheda oja, or the external nutriment, is that which is present in food. So we need to understand this, these two types of nourishing essence, because when we practice, we will come to know them very, very clearly. To elaborate on this point, or to expand on this, baheda oja, or external nutriment, is present in all things edible, all foods. And of course, there's a range of how much is present. It's according to type, there may be more or less. So this nutritive essence is what is called oja. And it's also called ahara. But ahara is not really the same thing as oja, which is nutriment. Nutriment is found in ahara, or food. You can't separate the two. So because oja, nutriment, and ahara, the food in which the oja is, nutriment is found, can't be separated, sometimes we call the nutriment ahara also.
Tattva daya, ludaya, kanagure maleve, naguga kajam shite, adi si nibali, pala tapare rari, hiraro atpi, izzata ojalu dirasugare.
So in every being, in every person, there's from moment to moment, there is internal nutriment, or ajata oja. So in all food and drink, there's some sort of taste. And there are basically six kinds of taste that we find in anything we eat or drink. Sour, sweet, hot, bland, bitter, and salty. And these six flavors that are found in food and drink are called rasa in Pali. So there's a physical essence in the six tastes, or in the six tastable, in things which have these six tastes. And this is called oja, so we understand that. And this oja causes the newly arising, ever new physicality to be good and strong. So oja, this internal nutriment, keeps the body from falling apart. It keeps the body from becoming destroyed. And what it's like is like gasoline or fuel in some sort of machine. Without this gasoline, the machine won't go. For example, a car without gas, it can't run. And there are also things that our body needs. We need the matter of earth, we need air, we need water. In particular, for a motor to keep on going, it needs air. So only when it has these substances, especially the gasoline, together with air, only then can the motor run, and same with our bodies. Oja is necessary for our body to keep on going. So when people have oja in the right amount, when they have enough nutriment, they have good health, and they have a long life, and they're able to work effectively because of the support for their bodies. So the mind also, it needs nutriment. And if we don't put nutriment in our mind, it won't be strong. If we think about food, when we eat food that doesn't contain enough nutriment, if we just eat something that is empty calories, we won't be healthy. Our physicality won't be strong. And we also need to avoid food that is not suitable for us. We need to select the type of food that that's wholesome and will nourish us. So now Sayadawji would like to speak about how this ahara or oja, food and nutriment, how they repair the body. In all the things we eat and drink, and drinking water too, even in fresh air that we breathe, there is nutriment, or there is oja. And this nutriment can cause new matter, new physicality to arise. Sometimes when we need something to drink, we're really thirsty. We don't have enough to drink, so we drink some water, and immediately we feel refreshed. This shows us that nutriment is present. If we breathe dirty air, polluted air, then we may get a headache, our body may ache, we may feel sick. But if we breathe fresh air, we feel refreshed immediately. So this shows that air and clean water that we drink also have a nourishing component. They also have oja, which can cause new matter to arise. So try for yourself and see if this is true. So one who knows this much about food and drink and who wants to be healthy understands what to do. One understands that one has to choose food that's suitable for us and which contains nutritious. And also, for that suitable food to be effective in making us healthy, we also have to avoid things that are bad for us, that don't agree with us, or that are poisonous. So we have to have this attitude mentally when we want to be healthy. If one wants to have Dhamma Oja, the nutriment of the Dhamma, or Dhamma nutrition, one has to avoid what is not suitable. So we take the 8 precepts. We refrain from killing, we refrain from taking others' belongings without permission, stealing, we refrain from sexual activity of any kind, and so on. So these are the things that we have to avoid so that we can, we have to avoid these things so that we can be ready to put the Dhamma nutriment in us. So it's just the same with our food. When we want to be healthy, we know we have to avoid food that is bad for us, food that is poisonous, or food that doesn't have nutrition. So thinking about physical nutriment, what happens when we have food that suits us and supplements or medicines that are specially suited for us? What happens is that we have a good body. We have clear and clean physicality. Our muscles are strong, not scrawny. And this is sure to happen. when we eat suitable food, and so on. So when we eat suitable food, things that are good for us, then our capability physically grows day by day. We become healthy. And this is sure to happen with the right food. So knowing this, that this is the way it is with the physicality, if we put the mental nutriment that we need into our mind, it will go from being scrawny to being well filled out. It will go from being muddy to being clear and bright. It will go from being stunted to being luxuriant. And most importantly, we'll have happiness, a healthy, happy mind. So there are some people who don't really think about what they eat. And as long as they eat something, then that's all they're concerned about. So they don't think at all about how nutritious the food is, the oja, and they don't think about having vitamins. They just eat things that are unsuitable for them, or they may eat too much. So when we eat things that are unsuitable, or if we eat too much for us, then it will cause us trouble. Eating unsuitable food can make us skinny instead of fat. And instead of having a clear complexion, our skin will be mottled. It will not look clear. And instead of feeling fresh and supple, our body will just be dried up. So in the same way, there are things that can make the mind muddy and scrawny and unclear. And these are actions and speech. So those are the things that we need to avoid. So we need to make this type of analogy and think about it in this way. So those who know in advance that suitable food is good for them and bad food is not, have the practice of eating and drinking what is good for them, what is suitable. And the benefit that they gain is that they have a long life and they're free of disease. And this is something that we can see. This happens. However, some people think, well, physical health is all that's necessary. If we have physical health, it's enough. But the mind and the body occur together. So just as we put nourishing food and drink into our bodies, we also need to do the same for our mind. So how we do this is that we need to learn the method for making the mind healthy and strong, for keeping it healthy and strong. And when we learn this method, when we put mental nourishment into our mind, as well as physical nourishment into our bodies, we'll have the best of both worlds. We have a human life, and we've met with the teaching of the Buddha. So just as we need to put physical nutriment into our bodies for health, so too we have to put mental nutriment into our minds. And the first thing that we need to do is to avoid what is not suitable, what is poisonous. And this is what we do when we take sila, we observe sila. When we observe sila, we know that we don't do this. We avoid doing these things. the things that we refrain from when we keep at least the eight precepts are, these things are to our minds like poisonous food is to the body, or like medicine, which is not suitable for us. So we avoid these things by keeping sila. And when our sila, our morality, is intact, when it's unbroken, then the nutriment, mental nutriment, can enter into our minds. So Seyadoji urges all of us very seriously to develop Dhamma Oja, to use this short time that we have to develop the Dhamma Oja, develop nutriment of Dhamma. Sorry. And the be mindful of your sila so that the Dhamma Oja can come in. So Seyadawji urges all of us to take our sila seriously, the precepts that are relevant to us. And monks, too, have to be careful about their sila. We have to have courage if we're going to avoid doing bad things. And we also have to have courage to do good things. So when sometimes what it can happen that we break our sila, but we know because we have our intention to keep sila. So if we know that we've broken our sila, we have to be brave enough to go to the appropriate person and admit the fault that we have. For monks especially, this is important. It's important for everybody, but it's most important for monks. Some monks nowadays don't think that their moral code is needed. And people like this will not have an easy time to concentrate their minds because their sila is not broken. Their sila is broken. Their base of sila is not good. For lay people, it's very easy. Lay people can keep five precepts and meditate successfully. So in avoiding bad, there are two parts to this. And one is hiri otapa, or moral shame and moral dread. And the other is having consideration or empathy for others. So when one knows, reflects on how other people will criticize one if one does something wrong, one avoids doing that. One would be ashamed to do a wrong thing, or one fears the consequences. So this is hiri and otapa. When we avoid physical and verbal misdeeds, our physical and verbal behaviors become clean, lovable, gentle. And this doesn't benefit only ourselves. It benefits the environment, those around us too, because we're refraining from harming others. When people avoid things out of consideration for others or empathy, it's because they understand this is something that I wouldn't like others to do to me. So I won't do it to others. Other people wouldn't like it just the same way that I don't like it. So with this understanding, this consideration for others, one keeps sila and therefore protects others. And by doing so, one also controls oneself. So when we keep sila, both sides benefit. Both we and others benefit. If we examine physical and verbal transgressions, physical and verbal misdeeds. The root of these is that there is no control or little control to prevent greed, hatred, and delusion, lobha, dosa, and moha, from occurring in our minds. This control is either weak or non-existent. So it can happen from time to time that there's the desire to kill or the desire to steal, to commit adultery, to lie, and so on. These occur from time to time due to causes. They may occur very slightly, or they may occur quite a moderate amount, or they may occur quite a lot. And if we can't control these mental tendencies of greed, hatred, and delusion, then one will act upon these and transgress. So we need to have a method for controlling these tendencies and for eliminating them. So we need to have a method so that these tendencies won't have any force or will not occur at all. If we use this method of control of lobha, dosa, and moha, and if it happens that the mind, that these tendencies don't occur anymore in the mind, then one's sila will become very, very strong, and oja, or nutriment, will enter one's mind. So as appropriate food, physical nourishment, brings about clean and clear physicality, so too when we have to keep our physical and verbal behaviors clean. And when we do that by keeping our sila, then oja can come in and it can become amazingly strong. Dhamma nutriment will develop if we try to control the mind on top of keeping our sila clean. So Seyaroji will explain tomorrow how the Dhamma nutriment, Dhamma oja, develops in terms of theory and practice. And he makes the wish that the yogis be able to keep their basic sila, whatever sila they keep, so that Dhamma oja, the Dhamma nutriment, can enter their minds, and so that they will be able to undertake the practice and fulfill the practice of noting every arising object, developmental strength. So that's all for today.